Thank you for coming out. I want to start by thanking a number of you. Morty mentioned Evelyn. Evelyn Caliendo was the glue that held the whole process together, attended all of the committee meetings and wrote up the minutes and kept the website going, responded to the countless number of emails that enabled everyone to participate in the process. So a big thank you to Evelyn for this. Morty also mentioned the large number of you who served on the task forces. My thanks especially to the co-chairs of each of those task forces for getting the consensus views of the members of those groups. And that wasn't hard to work through all of the ideas and come up with those most compelling ideas. It wasn't just in the Discover section where there were 90% of the proposals that did not make it through the process, but in each of the various task forces, there were a lot of good ideas that didn't rise to the level of being finally in the plan or even in the task force reports. So my thanks to all of you for your leadership roles on those task forces. And then I really want to thank the whole community for participating in this process. As Morty said, this was a process in which we reached out with our ideas and led numerous discussions. Last year at this time, I think I was doing on average 3 of these a week on each of the campuses and getting feedback from students, staff, faculty, trustees, alumni groups. I can guarantee you it wasn't intentional that we were putting ideas out there that were still in rough form. It wasn't just to get you to comment and to give feedback, but we certainly weren't presenting you with a polished plan throughout that process and saying that this is done, we don't really need your input, we already wrote it and it's in my drawer. It was very much a work in progress, and many of you will recognize your fingerprints over the changes that were made, because after every one of those meetings, we went back and revised it. We then made another presentation and got the feedback and revised it again. And every single time it made it better, because our collective insights into what Northwestern is and how to be better was much better than the insights of just a small group of people. So my thanks to all of you for participating in that process, for your patience in waiting for today, and in your help in implementing these ideas that have emerged and we think will help take Northwestern forward. The plan, as you see, has a beginning date. It says 2011, although the Daily said it was the plan for the next 10 years. Once in a while, the Daily might get something a little bit off, and not often, but it said that it was for 10 years, and we didn't put an end date on this plan, just like we didn't put an end date on the campaign. So we'll see how it goes, but we want to be flexible and we want to get as much done as we can, but we're not locking this in stone. And the core of this, as the title shows, is this is about our community. We is the center of Northwestern. And thanks to Al Cubbage and his group that recognized this design element, it really spoke well to how this plan was created and what we're trying to accomplish. As Morty again indicated, this is a plan about Northwestern University. That is our collective identity. That's what we are trying to elevate. And so you will see throughout the text references to different components of the plan, but it is not a plan that simply lists the strengths of individual schools or individual centers or individual campuses. It is a plan that cuts across all of these areas, that stitches together the pieces of the university into a coherent whole that we will all, I think, we all are, and we will continue to be extremely proud to be part of this entity called Northwestern University. That's what the plan is about, is how to create this sense of engagement in this larger enterprise when we spend so much of our time thinking locally, thinking about our department or our school or our campus. But this is an effort to think collectively about the university as a whole. So the plan was by and for the community. It involved all of us, and it is a plan that we are here today and tomorrow on the Chicago campus to celebrate, because it is our collective work, not the work of any one of us or any few of us. As Morty already described, we view this as being strategic, not only in comparison to other institutions, but the goal was to lay out a framework of ideas, not to give all the specifics. It's not a list of tactics. It's a list of strategies, because the real specific ideas have to emerge from the students and faculty and staff and alumni, that your collective thinking, the deans with their faculty and students, the vice presidents with centers, will be to say, how can we achieve this goal and this plan? How can we further this mission of Northwestern with a specific set of ideas? And we think that these will resonate with the university, be worthy of support, be worthy of space, even more difficult to find than support sometimes, and be something that we can talk about with donors in the campaign. So it is really up to you to put meat on these bones, to really add the specificity of how we're going to accomplish these strategies. And that is then the challenge of how we come together to make this plan alive, so that it is not simply a pretty set of pictures or a couple days of events or something that nicely gathers dust on a bookshelf, but comes alive for all of us. So to do that, the plan focused on four pillars. And those four pillars are shown here as discover creative solutions. Essentially, our research mission, but we're not just a research university. We're a research university with great creativity in the arts and humanities, in creativity about how we merge the sciences and technology with the arts, and how we merge the social sciences with public policy, and how we think collaboratively across fields. So it isn't just research, it's discovering creative solutions. So we'll go into more depth in that in just a moment. It's integrating learning and experience, essentially our teaching mission, but it's more than teaching, which is an action to a group of students, but rather our collaborative work in learning together. That it can't just be in the classroom. It has to be in co-curricular events. It has to be in how we involve students in the work of the faculty, in their research, in their scholarly work, in their creative activities. It's how we give students opportunities to take the theory they have and put it into practice beyond the campus. And so we will go into some of the ideas that emerged and how we integrate all that together so that the learning is more substantial, more lasting, has a greater impact. The third area is connecting our community. How do we build something that we all feel we're part of that is called Northwestern? How do we have more that we recognize in common, that we do together, that we share experiences and aspirations, and define ourselves by that collective experience, and make a home for all of us in our community that is welcoming, that people want to be part of, and that we all benefit from? And then finally, how do we reach beyond our own campuses, our own communities, to engage more broadly in the world, whether that's in Evanston in Chicago, in Doha in Qatar, or more broadly in where Northwestern has activities throughout the globe? On the first, on Discover Creative Solutions. As Morty described, there were over 100 proposals that emerged in the humanities, social sciences, sciences, and engineering, and medicine throughout the university. What was the task force looking for, and what did we feel were most compelling as ideas to support? What were the criteria for choosing these? One is that they had to be big areas that were important. We didn't want to invest a lot of time and effort and money and space in things that, well, yeah, we could be the top at, but the only people that would notice would be the few doing the work at Northwestern. These had to be big areas that we thought would engage us in serious conversations in the scholarly communities, in the real world for the practical applications that this work would have. Put Northwestern very much on the map in these domains, or enhance its position already on the map in these areas. They had to be topics that made sense for us, that mapped onto our collection of schools. As Morty indicated, we have a somewhat unique set of schools. So what are the opportunities at Northwestern to pull together themes that are important to Kellogg and the law school and medicine and engineering and arts and sciences and communication and on, not just to individual schools or pairs of schools, but these are themes that cut across the university. Where are they themes that cut across the university that we have a chance to have an impact on, that we also have a responsibility to tackle? Some of these areas might be hard as a university to achieve a real important set of findings and disseminate that research to have a meaningful impact. But we might have a special responsibility, because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? If Northwestern, with its schools of journalism and communication and law and business, don't think about the future of the media industries, who's going to do that? What other universities out there can think about First Amendment issues and the future of journalism and how we communicate in a society that has fragmented attentions to hundreds of channels and thousands of different stations and unlimited numbers of websites, that it's a responsibility that we have to accept? And which of these not only satisfies our ambition to engage in meaningful, high-impact, cross-cutting research, but involves our students? We're not a research institute, we are a university. And so these areas, if we're going to build up strength and hire faculty and give them resources, it also has to be because those faculty are actively engaged in the lives of students, that they want to take courses in these areas, they want to be involved in the scholarly and creative work of the faculty in these areas, they want to go out in fields of study beyond the campus in these areas. So these 10 areas are up in front of you. This was the consensus that emerged. Each of these does not map onto a single school. They all have importance across multiple schools. They're all important domains for the impact that they'll have in the world and in the scholarly community. They very much address student interest and aspirations. Nanoscience, energy and sustainability, biomedical. Biomedical is more than half of the university in terms of people and funding. Global health, writing and oral expression. There was a lot of discussion about how to organize that. There will be lots and lots of discussions about how we achieve such a broad topic as writing and oral expression, but it is so fundamental to what we do and our core values of emphasizing what we do at Northwestern. Design that cuts across technology and sciences with the arts and humanities. Media, as I discussed already, the performing arts. We not only have leading programs at the university, but we connect to leading theaters and music venues in Chicago. International studies, the study of the way in which the global community works through the social sciences and through the humanities, and how we incorporate that more into our own campus. And we'll come back to international later in other pillars. And market, social structures, and public policy. How we take what we do in the social sciences largely and think about how that translates into practice beyond the university. A common theme through all this is that we are proud of, in contrast to some institutions which are almost embarrassed about, recognizing that we are a university that embraces both theory and practice. When Morty listed that, started with the list of that we have three professional schools and engineering, there's no coincidence in starting with that, because it sets a cultural tone for our institution that says we're not an ivory tower. We very much believe in supporting high quality theoretical academic research in each of these areas, but we also believe in making that real, in speaking to public issues, into social needs, into translating that into new technologies and startup companies and speaking to the community beyond Northwestern for an impact. So theory and practice is our culture and what we embrace in this plan. Under integrate learning and experience, as I said, we recognized, and as an important preamble to this, recognize was out of all of these discussions and all the feedback that we got. When we listened to students, what they said over and over again is that our most memorable experiences, our best learning, was outside of the classroom. That might be hard for those of us who pride ourselves on how we lecture, but over and over again, the students talked about the transforming experience was working in a lab, or on a play, or at a news storefront in Chicago, or in an orchestra, or going out into a school system and working on a new educational program, or developing a robot. These were the experiences that were really co-curricular, that took learning with the faculty and broadened it and strengthened it by making it real. And so experiential learning is something that we want to engage the students and faculty in thinking more about. How can we encourage more of that? How can we change some of the ways that we award credit for student learning? How can we modify the curriculum to develop more co-curricular activities that we would support? In many of our academic programs, we don't speak of just the academic quarters. Graduate students study year-round, or work in a lab, or work in an archive year-round. Certainly many of our professional students do so as well. With undergraduates, we often think in terms of quarters and then brief periods in between to forget everything they learned in the quarter. And that isn't the most productive way to use the years at Northwestern and build a sustainable learning platform that has the most impact for lives beyond Northwestern. So we've done a lot in that direction. We've created more summer experiences where students can study in Beijing with Li Chen, or they can go off now to Cuba, one of the first educational programs in Cuba for American students. There are a number of these, but how do we create more opportunities in the various breaks during the year so that they turn into meaningful experiences? Yes, they can be downtime, they can be fun, but they might also be field studies in earth and planetary sciences at some remote location where we hope everyone gets back from safely. Or you know, all host of things that are meaningful and fun and take theory and put it into practice. That's going to require significant support. It might require significant rethinking of how we use the campus during the summers and how faculty spend their time, which is now pretty much focused on an academic year and now I get to do my own work time. And so how do we rethink how we collectively do that together? We offer thousands of courses. For most students, it is a bewildering array. It's organized somewhat by majors and minors and certificates. But how can we help students navigate through that maze? And the more that we can modularize the curriculum in programs such as many of you are familiar with that we have initiated over the last few years, the Kellogg certificate programs, the Brady program in ethics and civic life, the Kaplan Humanities Scholars programs, a number of modules that the School of Communication has begun. But a series of courses that are not simply a sequence of organic chemistry, which is fine, but a series of courses that stitch together into a coherent area of study that make the overall curriculum easier to navigate and easier to learn from. How to reconsider how we do academic advising and how we do mentoring. The challenge for many students is that they seek out advising from a faculty member, and most of us, certainly in my case, have never left school. So we're able to give advice about how to be a faculty member, how to be an academic. maybe you remember back to when you were a student and you took courses outside of your own area of study, but for most faculty, we know pretty well our own domain. How do we give advice about broadening that to an area of investigation that would match on to the student's interests and passions, but also prepare that student well for the future? So we would like to engage the various schools and the students and the faculty in conversations about how to improve advising. One idea that we put out there is more team-based advising approaches. With social media, this is achievable now. We can engage more alumni in this who have real-world experience and can emphasize to students, don't just study and work in this narrow area because you think that's going to prepare you for the career you want. I hear more often from alumni that they say, take courses outside of your area of study, broaden your experience, do fun things so that you can engage in interesting conversation at a business dinner, not just know the one area that you think you need to learn for a job. So alumni can be great advocates for the breadth of education that we can offer at Northwestern. How can we involve them more in that mentoring? How can we use staff more in mentoring? Invariably, undergraduates tell me that they get great advice when they walk into department offices because the first person they see is the department assistant. And they sit down and they talk to the department assistant, says, well, you're going to hear from the faculty member about this, but let me tell you the way it really works. And it's uncanny how correct that is. And how do we engage staff more in that process of advising by building this network? Teaching across schools, we've done a number of programs that envisions teaching across schools. How can we accelerate that? How can we enhance that? One idea and that I would like your feedback on is the previous strategic plan, the highest order of excellence, envisioned creating these courses and assigning people to them. It didn't really fly. What I would propose and see if we get responses is faculty who want to engage in such teaching would be the sources of these ideas, and that we would have a way of vetting those proposals to see if they would be of really terrific interest to students, whether those would be transformational courses and experiences, and have through perhaps the Searle Center for Teaching Excellence or the McCormick Teaching Award winners some review of proposals and enable faculty who propose these to do some of that teaching, and then to reward the schools and departments from which that faculty member comes so that they not only can hire someone to fill in for the teaching that that person might otherwise not do, but also to create the incentives for all the faculty and schools to engage in this. But again, we want your specific ideas on how to achieve this and how to enhance technology inside and outside of the classroom. We all recognize that the world of teaching and learning is changing rapidly through technology. We just don't all know what to invest in because it becomes the wrong technology or it becomes outdated very quickly. So this is again something that we want to have as a very flexible platform for ideas that emerge and that gain our support in this. In connecting our community, I would say this is the one pillar that probably attracted the most negative comments up front, that people were least satisfied with and had the greatest hopes that through this process we could address their aspirations, our collective aspirations. And that came from a variety of reasons. One, as I mentioned at the outset, we tend to think in smaller groups than the overall university. So we think of ourselves as members of a school or members of a major or members of a fraternity or residential college. And how do we create opportunities for people to identify with the larger collective? That there's some people who don't feel as included or welcome in all of the areas of the university, be they curricular, programmatic, activities, spaces on campus. We want everyone to feel welcome, encouraged to participate, to show up and learn from others and have fun in that experience. So those were some of the problems that were raised. And what do we need to do to achieve that? One is to make sure that we keep our eye focused on enhancing diversity at the campus. College and graduate school and being at a university is a unique opportunity to meet people from other backgrounds, from other perspectives. Whether or not you agree with someone's perspective, this is a place that you can hear that, often for the first time, or meet someone that's very different than you, or looks different than you, or comes from a different socioeconomic background, or a different part of the world, or has a different experience in how people in the world view them. And that is so enriching for all of us that we need to keep our eye focused and our resource focused on making that reality here so that we build a community that we all benefit from. And that is an active process. It doesn't just happen. It requires all of us to participate in that. It means creating spaces where we can all gather together and feel welcome and comfortable. I know that, as I saw in the Daily article and heard from undergraduates, that students were saying, well, that has one obvious implication in terms of building a student center. That is a level of tactical detail. This is a strategic plan. We very much want to invest in the kinds of gathering spaces that bring people together, but what specifically makes sense will emerge out of discussions with all of you. We're very conscious that building community requires getting together. That's why these meetings today and tomorrow. That's why when I was asked about simulcasting these, I was reluctant to do so because I don't think that building community involves watching things from your office computer, but rather walking across campus and coming into a room which is a little overcrowded and therefore is filled with a little bit more electricity than you would otherwise have. So I'm thrilled to see the turnout today in this. It's building new traditions. We've done a number of those since Morty arrived as president, where we have a fall concert, where we have the March Through the Arch, where we're creating Northwestern identities, inviting everyone to participate, or an entire class to participate, in the case of the March Through the Arch, inviting parents to participate up to the arch, not beyond the arch. All of these are really important in building a sense of togetherness and identity. We're certainly open to more of those. I was just in D.C. talking to a group of alumni, and they went around the room saying, what was your most memorable experience at Northwestern? Everyone had a story. Not one of them was a classroom experience. I told them as the chief academic officer that did raise some concern, but it very much spoke to their experiential education. But the reason I mention it is one of the people there said, well, when I was at Northwestern, I created this event called Armadillo Day. And then talked about how this came about because they had a roommate from Texas and wanted to do something to get people together. So, and they had a stuffed armadillo. So sometimes traditions happen for the strangest reasons. We'd like to be a little bit more intentional about some of those and to create some traditions that your ideas will help us support and create a lot of excitement around them. We have a number of ways that we bring students together with faculty and staff and alumni that are either participatory in the sense of you're actually engaging in that activity, or more emotional and celebratory because you're watching it and experiencing it. And that ranges from our athletic events, whether they are on watching the national championship women's lacrosse team, or watching the football team, or watching any of the many sports teams that we have, or going to plays and concerts. That these are opportunities for us to share together Northwestern and to celebrate what it means to be a community. And we hold lots and lots and lots of academic events, talks, conferences, symposia, regular seminars. In fact, the complaint is that we have so many of those that it's hard for people to know which ones to go to. They can't fit them all in their schedule. So ideas that come forward that fit in with the plan for ways in which to bring the community together, to hear really important addresses that really challenge us to think collectively, or that explore these big domains we want to support and create these big academic events. I mentioned some forms of staff participation in advising and otherwise, but also a more conscious effort at staff development, thinking about how to create collective enterprises among staff so that they have colleagues and advancement opportunities, how they can be given opportunities to go to educational programs and leadership programs that can enhance their skill sets and their opportunities is very important for us overall. But we certainly hear time and again, our staff are the people that make things happen. The faculty and students have lots of ideas, but we then turn to staff to actualize those. And the more that we invest in staff to give them the opportunity to develop better websites, to learn about how to connect because they know people elsewhere in the university, to how to get things done, we all benefit from that. Similarly, we hear from our alumni, some 200,000 members of our community, that they're very proud of having a Northwestern sticker on their car, but they would like a little bit more, that they would like to remain in touch with the excitement of being at Northwestern. They want educational opportunities. They want to meet people. They want to hear about new discoveries. And so ways in which we engage alumni even more are important, now even more easily achieved through distance education or online programs, but also by engaging them more by traveling out to different venues to speak with alumni and inviting them back to campus for various events here. The reunions have been tremendously positive slope. More and more alumni are participating. They're having more engagement when they're on campus, and we want to continue to invest in programs like that, which includes access for all of us to what we offer here on campus, even when we're not on campus, but to feel connected and part of the community. And finally, we have an aspiration that we are partially achieving of being part of a larger global community. We are extremely fortunate in our location. While we talked about our somewhat unique collection of schools and our particular strengths as a faculty and student body, it is without doubt true that we are the only major research university in Evanston, Chicago, and Doha. And that gives us some special opportunities. We are in a college town on a college campus in Evanston that is beautiful, that is waterfront, that enables us to do certain things in building community that's hard in an urban campus. Yet, we are not in a remote college town. We are part of the Chicago metropolitan area. We can have engagement with the city and be downtown for events that are breathtaking. If you were here 3 years ago this week, you will recall that many in our community were walking on Michigan Avenue that was closed off for traffic in a day that evening that was in the 70s and on international TV to celebrate the outcome of a presidential election. What I heard from students and faculty and staff was how lucky they thought to be here at the epicenter of history. And being in the Chicago area gives us that opportunity to be engaged in a world city, a global city. Chicago was just ranked the 6th global city in the world. New York was also in the top 10, slightly higher than Chicago. But we were the next highest ranked US city. LA was somewhere behind us. And it's pretty remarkable to be here where we have that combination. If any of you have been to Doha, it is the world's fastest growing city, quite literally. Every time I go, every few months, the architecture has transformed the place. Buildings are going up at a remarkable rate. It is the largest growth of GDP in the world. It is, in many ways, the Switzerland of the Middle East. It is engaging in conversations, in media, in learning, in ways that bring together clashing cultures that are somehow able to have voice in this one location. It's a fascinating place. When you combine the opportunities for our students and faculty and staff to engage locally in those communities, it is really remarkable. We have such tremendous opportunities because of where we are located. But we also think more broadly in terms of our global footprint. We have programs in East Asia. We have programs throughout Africa. We have programs in Central and South America and in Europe. We are a global university, but how do we invest strategically? We don't have an infinite amount of time, and each of these programs requires faculty participation and students to go and staff to monitor, and on occasion, Morty and myself to travel to, or other senior administrators to travel to. So we can't do everything. We have to be strategic and selective. And so there are certain areas that we want to emphasize. But certainly where we are located in the Chicago metropolitan area and in the Middle East are very central to our plans. We want to do more than just be there in an educational program. We'd like to leverage that to do more and more, to engage more meaningfully in research, for example. A good example of that is in Israel, where at Tel Aviv University, we have partnerships in Kellogg in business, in law, in an Israeli studies postdoc program, in material science and in chemistry. And how else can we build on that to engage students and faculty in collaborative work? Because once we have a toehold and establish an identity for Northwestern, let's take more advantage of that and build real great strength with the top institutions around the world. That helps to broaden our students' perspectives. Participation in study abroad continues to increase, but also how we bring the world to Evanston so students experience that, how we have more international students studying here, how we have more guests who come here to teach from around the world, or speakers at events, or ways in which we build communities around topics that think seriously about the world, how we globalize our community in that way. And then how we reach out beyond through our civic engagement to give meaningful opportunities for all of us to participate in our areas in Chicago, in Evanston, and in Doha. So those are the major themes in the plan. This is a dynamic plan, for one. It's been rewritten over and over and over again, and you will help it to stay dynamic because your ideas will continue to emerge and guide us in new ways to realize, to actualize each of these. It really requires all of us to think about this. This is a challenge to all of us to say, what would I want to do to help accomplish that? Who do I need to talk to in another school, in another major, in another department, to think about how we combine forces? Design for America is a great example of that, where students at Northwestern took it upon themselves with some faculty guidance to form connections across different areas of the university. And as a result of that unique engagement with each other, they then spread that gospel to a number of other universities. And Northwestern's Design for America program has been picked up from the East Coast, from Dartmouth to the West Coast to Stanford, where students from those other universities now come to Northwestern for training and to see how these programs take shape. It's a real opportunity for us to have an impact on how the rest of the academic world does its business and how we define our success. When we presented this to the trustees, one of the keys for them was what are the metrics that this plan has actually advanced Northwestern. I'm not going to go through all of those here, but there's a long list of ways that we look at ourselves, that we evaluate ourselves, and say, are we getting better? You know, some of those are a comparative framework, which are really fraught because, as you all know, rankings and various metrics get played in various ways by institutions, not by us, but by other institutions. And so it's a little bit hard to make that meaningful comparisons, but we laid out a set of metrics that we want to achieve to make Northwestern better, in both an absolute sense and in the perceptions of the academic world that we are a better and better institution. And then finally, what you see in color at the bottom are some of the key phrases that emerged from all the planning that really tended to put in perspective how we think about Northwestern today, what it is, and what we think we want to be. And some of these were, I thought, incredibly insightful. So define yourself, transform the world, has emerged in the branding committee that will be submitting its report very soon. But a central idea was that we are different from a number of other institutions where you go there to be branded by that institution. That Northwestern is more of a place that you go to take advantage of all of the opportunities to define yourself, not to be defined within the mold of that institution. And in so doing, you become really empowered to change the world. You may have seen that we were number two in the country this year in the number of Fulbright awards to our students. We've been in the top 10 for a decade now every year, and we're a much smaller university than the others that are in the top few. Michigan was number one this year, which has a much larger number of students. We empower people to take Northwestern with them as lifelong learners, as alumni, as leaders, as change agents, who people who care passionately about the world, who have an impact on the world, and make it better for all of us.